morning, everyone. Welcome to Bridge City Church, Murrysville Campus. I think that's an amazing bumper video we have there. Just some of our worship leaders at other campuses doing that video. And we're excited about the series that we're in today, continuing last week, the Do You Hear What I Hear series. But before we get into the Word, I was wondering, would any of you like to hear a Christmas joke?
Yes.
Okay, that was a very emphatic yes, so don't get your hopes up too much for it. But what's the best Christmas gift that you could get? Not the holy religious answer. Like, what's the best Christmas present you could give? It's a broken drum. It can't be beat. Right. Okay, we'll give you another one. I'll try again. What's the first thing that Santa's little helpers learn when they get to the workshop? The alphabet. Thank you. You can use those this Christmas with your family. They're going to be so impressed with you. They're going to be wowed by you. But, you know, looking at the Christmas story today, and no, not the Christmas story with Ralphie and the Red Ryder BB gun, the original Christmas story. Any of you like the originals? Like, I love the originals. Usually the book is better than the movie. Any of you out there? People don't read books anymore, so. But, you know, I like the original, and this book is better than the movie. Amen. The original Christmas story is what we're going to look at. And last week we looked at Mary and the shepherds as a focus of the Christmas story. And today we're going to look at the wise men, the Magi, and a little bit of Zechariah as well as part of the Christmas story found in Matthew 2 and in Luke as well. Matthew and Luke really are containing the Christmas story here. But December in this Christmas month really is like no other month of the year. Right, there's so many more expectations and emotions and feelings and so much pressure this month more than any other. I mean, we have Valentine's Day and anniversaries and birthdays and other stuff, but Christmas seems like the biggest month of pressure. Anybody agree? Right, there's stress, there's parties, there's food you gotta cook, you gotta clean the house, you gotta have family over, you gotta have conversations with those family members. Right, there's a lot. Oh, and by the way, there's Jesus. Right? And we have to fit Jesus into all the other stuff. At least that's what the world does, or that's what we often fall into if we're not intentional on what this season is really all about. And you may be sitting here, I don't know, I'm not sure where you are. Maybe it's your first time in a church. Maybe you've been in church for 40, 50 plus years. But every time we hear about Jesus, it should give a response. We should have a response when it comes to Jesus. The only time you don't have a response to Jesus, whether it's good or bad, I mean, look at all through the Bible. People were excited about Jesus, or they were really mad about him. They wanted to kill him and get rid of him, or other people wanted to give up everything and follow him. You know, the only people that don't have a response to Jesus are usually the Christians who've grown old with Jesus. Oh, it's another Christmas message. Just another, I've heard it all before, been there, done that. And if we start to treat Jesus as ordinary and mundane, we lose the joy of the season. We lose the whole message. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the food. It's not about all that extra stuff. It literally is all about Jesus. But we must remember to see as Jesus sees, to hear what he hears. And the song is not just a song, but it's a reminder of, do you hear what I hear? When I hear the word of God, it changes me. When I see what God is doing and see the way God sees, it changes me. It changes our whole perspective of how we view the world and this Christmas season. So how do we still see God? How do we know what he's doing? Well, today we're going to see the Christmas story through eyes of faith by hearing, believing, and obeying. And you may say, we've heard these 3 points before. These 3 points are a way to help you have faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Then we have to believe what it says. We can't just read it and acknowledge it, but to believe it. Then to obey what God's word says will result in us seeing things differently, having eyes of faith. So to give a little context before we jump into Matthew chapter 2, just to set the reminder that there was 400 years, and this Bible is comprised of the Old Testament and the New Testament. From the Old Testament, the last thing that was recorded by God, 400 years of silence. 400 years that God wasn't speaking. Nothing was recorded that God spoke. No prophets. He didn't send any angels that we have anything recorded for 400 years before the New Testament, which is where we start in Matthew 2. And I just wonder, how many of those people, the God's chosen people, the Jews of that time, were wondering, where is God? Where is he? He's silent. Is he really there? Does he really see us? Does he really care about what's going on? Does God, do you really see what's happening in our government? Right? They had Roman oppression upon them. They had all kinds of problems about in their world. I can't imagine they weren't going, God, where are you? And yet the same thing happens to us today, doesn't it? When God seems silent, seems absent. God, where are you? Look at what's happening in our world. Look at what's happening in our government. Look at what's happening in my own life. God, where are you? Are you there? And we're faced with these questions. And what we're going to look at and see when God seems like he's not there. The reality is, and we all know this in our head, God's always there, but he's not always speaking the way we want him to speak. But we can see the Christmas story fresh through eyes of faith. So with that, we need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit's help to hear him, to see him, to obey him. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for this day. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for not just the Christmas story that's recorded, but God, for what you did, that you left heaven and came to earth as a baby boy. God, we thank you. We celebrate you, God. And I pray right now for faith to rise in each and every one of our hearts. God, that we'd see this Christmas story with fresh eyes. God, that you'd speak to each and every one of our hearts. God, help us see differently from this day forward so that you can receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 2, very first book of the New Testament. Matthew 1 is all the genealogy and a little bit about Mary. And Matthew 2, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, tells a story in Judea, the region of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. There's so many amazing things about the Christmas story. When you really study the geography and the history and the cultural context, the political stuff, King Herod was appointed the king of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews in this region in Judea. And here's these other guys that show up and they're saying, hey, where's the king of the Jews? And they very clearly said, the newborn king of the Jews. It's like these guys showed up in this king's territory saying, we're looking for the real king. Right? And it's a challenge to Herod, but who are these wise men? Like, how could they come in and do this? Right? Who were these wise men? What were they doing? Well, these wise men were astrologers. They were studiers. They would have been the intellectual elite. Highly intelligent, looking to study, studying ancient writings, studying the scripture, and they were searching for truth. They were searching for the real thing. They knew the scriptures. They knew what they had at that time was the Old Testament, and they knew that God was speaking about a star that was going to rise, and it was going to lead them to where the newborn king of the Jews, the Messiah, was going to be born. They knew this, and they were led by that word to come and follow Jesus. You know, some people say, well, Christianity and being highly intelligent don't go hand in hand. And I say, what does that even mean? Because the wisest thing you could do is to follow Jesus. The most intelligent thing you can do is to follow Jesus. The Bible is God's word. It's his wisdom, which is so much greater than just knowledge, but it's wisdom from God. The wisest thing we could do is to follow Jesus. And we see here these highly intelligent men seeking Jesus out. Now, we usually think there was three of them because of the gifts they gave, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and but there were so many more of them. And by the way, do you know what the wise men said after they offered their gold and frankincense? Oh, wait, there's myrrh. You can use that one, too. You can use that one, too. But these guys were kings. These guys were kings, and you're not going to think about anything else besides that the rest of the time. Write that one down. Write that one. That's a good one. But these guys, they traveled approximately 900 miles. Okay, we got to understand these wise men. They weren't just guys that showed up one day. They had to travel months, if up not up to 2 years, to get to Bethlehem, to get to where Jesus was. And to remember that faith is a journey. Right? We all want the quick and easy. We want the 90-minute Hallmark movie. We want the microwave version of faith. But the reality is faith is a journey. It could be long and difficult and challenging. and a lot of the problems and obstacles along the way. But these men, they followed the map that led them to Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I used to use the AAA trip tickets. Anybody know what those are? I'm like probably the youngest person knows what that is. But you know, paper maps. We used to travel all over the country. My dad would take us and my brothers all around the country. We used paper maps, and we'd track our course and use the trip tickets. And I just love that. And then now we have Google Maps and iPhones and Waze and so many other things that lead you and show you where to go. But the point of the map is a map leads you somewhere. A map, when you write out the course, really a map shows you what's available, but we have to check the course. We have to plot it out and follow which course we're going to take. Nobody, a map doesn't tell you where to go, but you have to decide which path you're going to take. These wise men chose to take the right path, to follow the star that led to Jesus. And speak of this star, this star in the sky, it's not just a fairy tale in the Bible. It's not just something passed down from Christian to Christian to Christian. It's actually recorded in ancient history, in Chinese history, and Babylonian history. Other cultures have the same story, a similar story of an astrophenomenal thing in the sky. These stars were happening at the exact same time where Jesus was born. When the world went from AD to BC, when Jesus was born, this big star, something happened in the sky, recorded by multiple cultures. I don't think that's just coincidence, right? That even these people that don't believe in Jesus, they say something big happened at this same exact time, this star in the sky. And to me, I love when the world and culture and the evidence of everything, of history, points to Jesus' reality, that he was really born at this same time. There are people searching in the dark right now, and we get the opportunity to lead them to the light. Maybe you're in the dark right now. Maybe you're faced with some dark times. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the light. And it's so refreshing and such a joy when you come to him. And that's why we have our Christmas candlelight service times. There's two of them, 6 and 7:30 on Christmas Eve, where some people call it Christmas Adam, because Adam came before Eve. But these invites are on your seats. I gotta redeem this somehow. These invites are on your seats. These aren't for you. We're gonna give you this that's not for you. It's for you to give this to somebody else. Because candlelight, it's not just to sing some Christmas carols and light a candle. It's all about reminding us and reminding others the light of the world came to bring light to our darkness. And what we've received, that light in the darkness, we wanna give to as many people as possible, to help other people experience the light of the world in Jesus. So give these to people. If you want more, there's more at Connection Point in the back. Share it online. Send a picture of it. I've invited several people. They've said they're coming. You know, so looking forward to having two worship times packed out in this place, because we want as many people as possible to experience that light. So back to the text, verse 3. King Herod, he hears about this newborn king of the Jew, and it says he's deeply disturbed, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. He asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And this Herod, I wonder if the wise men would have thought, Herod's going to be so excited about this. You ever have that? You're like, you're so excited to share news with somebody, and they're not excited about it, right? And King Herod's not only not excited, he's upset, he's disturbed, he's unnerved. But in the quest of finding Jesus, you'll come across some Herods in your life. You'll come across people who want to not only stop you from finding Jesus, but they want to destroy the image of Jesus completely. And we have to choose, are we going to follow in faith or follow the confusion and follow the Herods of the world? The great news is it's our choice, who and how we get to follow. In verse 5, it says, in Bethlehem in Judea, they answer him with, where's this Messiah going to be born? They say, this is what the prophet wrote, you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. He's quoting, and there's different references in the Old Testament, because this is all they had at the time. They're reading out of Micah and Daniel and Numbers, reading about where Jesus, the baby, the Messiah, is going to be. They were reading what we now know as the Word of God. Like I said, reading the Bible is one of the wisest things you could ever do. Not only do you get knowledge, you get wisdom from God, but it keeps you grounded to truth, because it is truth. It brings you comfort and peace and joy and faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Hearing the word of God builds faith. Hearing and reading. I encourage people to read the Bible out loud. Don't just read it in your head, but read it out loud so you hear it as well as read it. And I listen to the Bible all the time. People say, I don't have time to read the Bible. Play the Bible on your phone while you're driving to work. It's going to be so much better than sports talk or talk news or anything else you're listening to. Unless you listen to worship, we can talk about that. But, you know, worship or listen to the Bible on your way to work or listen to the Bible in your quiet time or listen to the Bible play as you hear the word. It builds faith. And these wise men, they read the word of God. They had faith to believe. They obeyed because they traveled. They traveled all the way. Then they get to see Jesus. Verse 7, Herod calls for a private meeting. He talks to the leading priests, the scholars. Then he says, let's get together these wise guys. And he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. So this is how he knew. He told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go to worship him too. Now we all read the story, knowing who Herod was, knowing what he did. Like, how could these guys fall for this? Well, they didn't fall for it because God told them not to go back to Herod, that he was a threat, and they ended up going back a different way. But Herod saw Jesus as a threat to his kingdom. Oftentimes, people in our lives see Jesus as a threat to their way of life, to their lifestyle. I have several friends that just, they won't go to Jesus, they won't come to church, they won't accept him because they say, I don't want to change my lifestyle. And they think Jesus is all about rules and do's and don'ts and religion and works and you can't have fun. And I go, you're missing the whole point of really being a follower of Jesus. That there's so much joy when we follow him. There's so much peace and freedom when you follow Jesus, not rules and religion, but freedom to follow him, grace to follow him. Because it says, after this interview, the wise men went their way. The star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were what? Filled with joy. They were filled with joy. I mean, they just went on this long journey. When you get to your destination, there's going to be joy. But they saw the star and they saw it stop. And they said, we now can see the Messiah. We now can see what we've been waiting for. Jesus brings great joy. If you're not experiencing joy, it's probably because you're not seeing Jesus. Coming to church or doing good things is good, but if you're missing the point, if you're missing Jesus, you're not going to have the joy. Joy isn't just happiness. Happiness is all based on happenings. It's circumstances. Circumstances change, but joy can be something that we have all the time. Not just one day of the year, but every day of the year, we can choose joy. Many of you have joy that's one step away. One step away from accepting Jesus. One step away of a shift in our perspective of off of the stuff and onto Jesus. To really focusing on him. To stir our faith. But along the journey of faith, there are obstacles that come up. Four of them that we have listed are journey. The journey is long and hard. Amen? Sometimes we feel like we're waiting on God for so long. Just waiting and waiting and waiting. And it can be difficult. Just like the wise men, it wasn't easy. They didn't just hop on a Greyhound or hop on a Uber. They had to travel a long ways with a lot of people to get to where they're going. Our education can explain it all away. The educational culture right now is trying to explain away Jesus. Explain away Christianity. And I go, well, I read this book and I find so much medicine and health and science and history that was spoken thousands of years before man ever discovered it. Just think, one example of so many is vitamin K. For those of you who probably aren't that versed in vitamin K, but God shared in his Bible to not circumcise babies until they're 8 days old. Why would he say such a ridiculous thing? Because babies' bodies don't produce vitamin K, which coagulates blood, until they're 8 days old. Man didn't even discover that. Human medicine didn't even discover that till the 1900s. Thousands of years after God said it. And that's just one of so many examples of what God said. Science, history, medicine, health. He wrote it thousands of years before humans ever discovered it. We can't say that education explains away. Like, this is education. Learn from the one who created it all anyways. And it's such a better resource to go to God, to go to the Bible, to learn from him. Religion in the sense of that word, we mean works-based. That religion's all about what can I do? How can I earn something? How can I be good enough? The reality is none of us can be good enough for anything apart from God. I say all the time, nothing good comes from me except from God, that God's given me the ability to do. Our works fall short every single time if we're not full of faith first. Faith and works go hand in hand. We can't have works without faith. But people get in the way. You know, there's Herods along the way. Oftentimes, people cause our faith to stumble in our faith. People who, I know many of you have been hurt by people in the church, hurt by a pastor, a minister, hurt by somebody you trusted with something. They hurt you, and it causes us to question our faith. It can lead to a crisis of faith when people let us down. And as sad as that is, and as traumatic as that can be, our faith is ultimately in God, not in people. And we must shift our focus from people-focused to God-focused, because God will never let you down. God's always there. He's always faithful. And understanding that people often get in the way, our faith should be in God and God alone first and foremost. So I wonder if these wise men, they had some obstacles along the way, the journey, maybe their intellect, maybe their old beliefs or other beliefs. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jewish. The people that got in the way, they continued to press ahead rather than let all these obstacles get in their way. So they get to the house. Verse 11 says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought the gifts to Jesus. They brought these gifts that were really gifts of a king. They were gifts from a king and to this newborn king. They saw him. They didn't just see him physically, but they saw. They saw with different eyes. They saw with spiritual eyes. You can see Jesus as a person, as a historical figure, as somebody who was a real guy. But then you can see Jesus as your forgiver, your leader, your personal Lord and Savior. It's a very different perspective, a way of seeing Jesus, not just acknowledging him, but truly following him, worshiping him, excited about who he is and what he's done for you. The end of their journey, they hear God, they believe him, they obey him, they get to see Jesus. They find him right where the star led them to be. Another story, switching gears from the wise men, is Zechariah. Zechariah is in the book of Luke. Another story of a man who believed and obeyed and got to see God move miraculously. And just to give a little context, in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they were very good people. The Bible says they obeyed all of God's commands and regulations. They were faithful to follow him. Zechariah is serving in the temple one day. And it says, as he's serving in the temple, an angel appeared to him, and he's terrified. In verse 13, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And then we see Zechariah's response in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Such a nice way to say his wife is old, right? Well along in years. So the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Now, the whole story of Zechariah, it's one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story, because Zechariah is the first person that Gabriel speaks to. Even before Mary, Gabriel speaks to Zechariah. Yet Zechariah, he's not a perfect person. How many of you love that the characters in the Bible, the people that are recorded, they're not perfect people? I find joy knowing God used messed up, flawed, failed people to do his work. That gives me hope. That gives us all hope that God can use you, he can use me, that none of us are perfect. Zechariah, this great man who's faithful, he's obedient, but he's flawed. And when an angel appears to him in the temple, it's like, this guy's a leading priest. If anybody should believe an angel, it should be him, right? But instead, he goes, "How can this happen? I'm old, my wife's old, we can't have kids. Like, what are you telling me this for? And there's a punishment, but then ultimately, Zechariah goes, Elizabeth gets pregnant, and you know what the name of their baby is? John the Baptist, John the one who not only got to lead the way to Jesus, but his son got to baptize Jesus. John got to be used such a pivotal way of breaking the silence of God. He was the voice in the wilderness declaring. All because Zechariah eventually chose to be obedient to God. He got to see an amazing thing happen within his very own family. We all have these times where we can be waiting on God, saying, I'm too old. I can't do that. I have this illness. I have this infirmity. I have this disability. I have this. And we put all these things before God and say, God, I can't. I don't see how it can happen. And God's saying, if I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Because God's word is bigger and better than anything else we face on earth. He's going to do what he's going to do. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. But Zechariah, he was stuck seeing just in the natural. We all do that at times. But Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't just what we can see, because then it's not faith, right? It's things we hope for, things we are longing to see, the evidence of things not seen. We see the evidence of God all around us. Look at creation. Watch a sunrise out of a dark night. Look at a baby. There's so many amazing things in creation that I can't believe. It takes more faith to believe that we came from primordial soup and evolution than to believe that God created us. An intelligent designer created us to be in a relationship with him. That he has plans and purposes and value for each one of us. God's evidence of things not seen, the faith to believe him, is so much greater than the things of this earth. But it can be a challenge at times when we don't see God move. And we have to set our hearts and our minds on God's word, first and foremost, but also on stories that feed our faith. In fact, a couple years ago, and every Christmas now, I can't help but share, and I know some of you have heard this before, but 2 years ago, my wife and I, Rachel, we were trying to have a baby for several years. Nothing was working, you know, went to doctors, they said hormones are messed up, try different things, and all that was good, but still no baby. And I believe God spoke to me, it was earlier in the year, he said, buy a car seat in faith. Buy a car seat, let me show you that I'm the creator of life. And I said, God, I know you're a creator of life, but I mean, there's some risk here, right? I buy a car seat for my wife who wants to get pregnant. She can't get pregnant. There's some big downside there. The emotions, the disappointment, the unmet expectations. I mean, that's what's going through my head. And I wish I could say I obeyed God right away. I didn't. I waited a few months and Christmas has come. And I said, God spoke to me again. He said, buy your wife a car seat for Christmas in faith. I said, okay. So I buy a car seat. Very one that's sitting on the seat right up here. Buy the car seat, buy a stroller for her for Christmas. I'll be honest, I was scared. I was scared leading her out to the garage and surprising her with that on Christmas Day because I thought, what if it doesn't happen? I had some doubt, but I said, you know what, I'm gonna obey, God. You told me this, I'm going to obey and let you lead. So we go in the New Year's Eve, still no baby. 6 weeks after that Christmas, Rachel conceived. We had a baby boy on the way. And you know, it took hearing God, obeying God, to get to see his promises. You know, I don't know why, and by the way, Judah's in the back with her right now if you want to see. Like, I love it, getting to see him every day, and his name's Judah Michael, is praised one who's like God, the praise God. Judah is a reverent form of worship, the praising God, because every time I see him, every time we say his name, it's I'm praising God. I'm thanking God for what he did. Now I understand there's some of you that you've been hearing God, you've been obeying God, and you're not seeing it happen yet. You're not seeing God come through yet. I don't understand why God does for some, but he doesn't do for all the same way. All I know is I want to encourage you to have faith once again. Faith to believe once again. Maybe you've stopped believing. Maybe you've stopped believing for a healing. Maybe you've stopped believing for a son or a daughter or a family member to come back home. Maybe you've stopped believing for a spouse to begin following Jesus. Maybe they're living wayward. Whatever that problem is, whatever that challenge is, I want to encourage you that God is bigger than it. God can do what he's going to do. We take him at his word. He says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. God's will is for all people to be saved, for all people to have a relationship with him. Those people who are far from him right now, I'm believing God wants them to come back more than we do. I'm believing this Christmas season is going to be the best Christmas ever. There's going to be prodigals that come home. There's going to be release of for unforgiveness. If you're holding on unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, let it go. It only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the other person. It only hurts you. Maybe you got some family. You need to say, I forgive you and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And allow God to use those words so powerfully to bring reconciliation in your family again, to restore something that was lost or broken. If you go, please stand to your feet. I have one more slide I want to show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God's word says that our present troubles are small and won't last very long. As difficult as whatever it is you're going through, they're small and won't last very long because our time here on earth is the shortest amount of time in the big scheme of eternity. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I want to pray for you today. I want to offer a time of healing to happen. Something that you're faced with a trouble right now. You're faced with a challenge right now. You're faced with an obstacle to your faith. Whatever it is for you, will you surrender that to Jesus today? Will you say, God, I've been holding on to this thing for far too long. Now, it doesn't always change your circumstances, but you can have joy through them. You can have joy through the hard times. You can have joy this Christmas, remembering it's all about Jesus. Fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Fix our things on the things of heaven, on the things of God. So if you're here today and you say, "That I need something, I need to release something. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you need a healing. Maybe you need reconciliation, a restoring of a relationship. Whatever that thing is, if you say, God, I need you right now, I want you to fix your gaze on him, spiritually speaking. Let's close our eyes. It helps focus in the spiritual, not on the natural. So if all of us close our eyes, and I just invite you to reach up towards heaven. Reach out towards God saying, God, just a sign that I want to fix my gaze on you. Father God, I pray right now for each and every person in this room. God, every person who needs a touch from you, God. God, there's a lot of troubles. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of afflictions right now among your people. God, we know you see every single one of them, that you care deeply for each and every person here. God, help us get our eyes off the natural, off the here and now, and onto the eternal, that we'd fix our gaze on you, fix our gaze on what you did on the cross for us, that you rose from the dead, not for us just to struggle through life, but to have eternal life with you. God, I do pray for comfort right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for restoration of relationships in Jesus' name. God, may you do what only you can ultimately do. God, that you'd move in the spirit right now to bring wholeness and healing and health to each and every person in this room. God, we pray that for our family, for our coworkers, for our friends, and everybody we encounter, everybody in our life. We just speak life and joy and peace right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One last thing I want to offer you is if you don't have a day, a moment, or time that you know for sure that you began a relationship with Jesus, you began a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, I want to offer you today. Today could be the first day, the best day for the rest of your life where you began that relationship with God. What you do is you say, you want it, but then you say, God, I need forgiven of my past. God, all these troubles I face, some things that you've done, some things that were done to you, you want to ask for forgiveness for them, from God. Then to say, God, I want you to lead me in my life. He becomes the forgiver of your past and the leader to your life. If you don't know for absolute certainty that you have a relationship with God, then you can start today All you gotta do is slip up your hand. I'm gonna pray, and then we'll have somebody follow up with you on how you can take your next step. Anybody here today say, I wanna begin that relationship with God. I need to get right with Him once again. Anybody at all? Well, God, I pray right now for every person, God, that we would invite and continue to invite those people who we know are far from You. God, whether we know where they are or not, God, that we'd invite people to experience the light and life that is Jesus Christ. God, we thank You that each of us know exactly where we're going, that we have eternity that we're going to spend with You. God, we give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Jared, come on up. You can have a seat.